us the fear of that blessed commandment. That rightly God, all man desires we may enter upon the spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well pleasing to thee. For thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies with Christ our foe, and after thee do we send up glory, together with thy Father, who is everlasting, and thy love, holy, good, and life-changing Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Unto all.
And to your spirit.
The readings of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to thee, O Lord. Glory to thee. Let us attend. At that time, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? How is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his garments, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. This gospel of the Good Samaritan is assigned always at or near the beginning of Advent. Its liturgical setting, then, is the fast of St. Philip, by which we come to Bethlehem, Adventimus, Advent, by which we come to Bethlehem in spirit. But the parable is also prominent in Lenten and penitential prayers. We will hear the theme of the Good Samaritan during the weeks of Great Lent, and especially the first week. By this we are shown the unity of Christmas and Pascha. Therefore we might say that when the Lord Jesus Christ was led to the cross outside the city, he was journeying from Jerusalem down toward Jericho. And so it was on the cross, where stripped of his garment and crucified himself between 2 thieves, he himself fell among thieves, voluntarily, by his own will. You could say that it is on the cross that he came upon this certain man. He came upon him not in a parable, but in the deep of the heart, outside the city, beyond all things. In this paschal light, we begin to see how deep is the Lord's visceral compassion when he comes upon this certain man. In other words, when he comes upon each one of us, not in a parable, but on the footstool of his heavenly throne, his cross. That compassion is the abyss of his uncreated glory, in which he so loved the world that he was born of the Virgin. He emptied, that is to say, he denied himself and was obedient to the Father, even to death on the cross. In this light of Pascha, we see how the Lord, as the Samaritan, poured oil and wine on this certain man left for dead at the side of the road. Born of the Holy Virgin, he became one with us in our death in order to deliver us from the devil and the fear of death. He poured on us oil and wine by the oil of his Holy Spirit and the blood of his own body from the cross. Which is to say, he became one with us in our death. That's how he poured oil and wine on this certain man. Moreover, we see what the oil and the wine are. And if you will, we see the vineyard that produced them. The oil, as I just said, is the Holy Spirit, the oil of his holy resurrection. And the wine, as I said, is his blood that came out from his wounds when he was pierced on the cross. The blood of God, the blood of God, by which our wounds are healed. And the vineyard is the mystery of God hidden from the ages, from which came forth the root of Jesse, the most pure maiden, the most fruitful garden, the good soil that brought forth the vine untilled, who blossomed forth the tree of life. Christ our Lord, our God, our Savior, and our Redeemer, who opened Eden to all. The vineyard, then, that produced the oil and the wine, the mystery of the Theotokos, the mystery of the church, from whom Christ took his body. The vineyard, then, is the body of Christ, the fullness of him who is all in all. The vineyard is the church. In the church this morning, we are in that secret hidden place, the tomb of our heart, where the Lord journeyed from Christmas to his holy Pascha and has come upon us to pour on us his oil and wine. For we are the certain man who fell among thieves. These thieves are not mere parabolic figures. They are spirits of the ruler of the power of the air who worked their disobedience in us and stripped us of our garments, wounding us in soul and body as we walked down from Jerusalem to Jericho, as we walked in the desires of our flesh, as we walked in the covetousness of idolatry, as we walked in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, as we walked doing the will of our flesh, doing the will of our mind, not the will of God. And so they left us dead in our sins and trespasses by the side of the road, by the side of the way of Christ's commandments. It says that a certain lawyer stood up to put him to the test. Teacher, he says, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Does the lawyer know that this Jesus that he is speaking to is Israel's inheritance? He is the inheritance to eternal life. As he says to Ezekiel, the prophet, he says to Israel, I am your inheritance. I am your possession. And he says to Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Does the lawyer know that this Jesus he is speaking to is the inheritance of eternal life, is the eternal life that he hopes to inherit? The lawyer addresses the Lord as teacher. Does he know that he's looking to the teacher of the psalmist? As when the psalmist cries out, O Lord, teach me the way of thy law, and I will keep it with my whole heart. Make me to live in thy righteousness. The Holy Orthodox Church, then, if she is the body of Christ, is the wisdom of God, who will teach us what we must do to inherit eternal life. Now the veil is lifted, and the parable begins to reveal its deeper meaning. The church teaches me in the word of her prayers that to inherit eternal life, I must receive Christ, who has come to me on the side of the road, and subject myself to him as my King and my God, and as the physician of my soul and body. Note that it is the Lord who in turn puts the lawyer to the test. When he answers him and says, he does not say, what? But he says, how do you read? How do you read what's written in the law? I take him to mean, do you read the law like the Pharisees do? Or do you read it like the psalmist? I think the priest and the Levite represent those who read the law like the Pharisees. They see the ordinances of the law. They do not see the word of God that is veiled by them as their living substance. They pass by on the other side because they simply cannot reach the soul of anyone with the bare ordinances of the law so that they could touch and heal the heart wounded and lying half dead on the side of the road. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Word of God who was the living substance of the law. He is the one whom the psalmist saw and felt in his love for God through the law. He it was whom the psalmist looked to as his teacher. He it was who made the psalmist to live in the righteousness of the law. In other words, in Christ, the giver of the law. And in these last days, this Lord Jesus Christ, this living substance of the Old Testament law, this Word of God, he himself became flesh. He was born of the Virgin. And now he stands among us in the veil of his body, the church, in the temple of his body, to ascend to the cross as the offerer and the offered, in order to come to where we are at the side of the road, stripped of our garment, wounded and half dead in our sins and trespasses. Why? That he may make us alive, as we heard St. Paul in the epistle to the Ephesians this morning, that he might make us alive with him, that he might raise us up and set us together with him in the heavens. In other words, raise us up and set us on his donkey, which is his humanity. Set us on his shoulders of his own body like a lost sheep. On his body by which, set us on his body, on the donkey, on his body as by which he has destroyed death by his death, and by whose wounds, the wounds of his body, as the wounds by which our wounds are healed. Why? That we might become his creation, created in him for good works that God prepared beforehand. Beforehand. When beforehand? It says, from even before the foundation of the world, that we might walk in them. That means that to inherit eternal life, to inherit Christ himself, we must walk in the obedience of Christ's death. We must walk in the obedience of Christ's death. That is the way of resurrection to eternal life. It is the way of Christ God himself that ascends to the heavenly places. And we should not walk in the ways of disobedience that descend down to Jericho, down to death and corruption. I ask you to see that the church's ascetic disciplines heal and make alive because of the Spirit of Christ, the Word of God, who works in them as their living substance. The ascetic disciplines of the church are the cross. I would dare to say that they are the embodiment of the Word of God himself. so that when I take up the disciplines of the church, I'm taking up my cross, I am taking up and clothing myself with Christ himself. And this cross, which is Christ himself embodied, is given me by the Word himself in his body, the church. And by these ascetic disciplines, he would lead me, he would lead me with his Holy Mother into my soul, where I lie half dead by the side of the road, even into the tomb of my heart. For that's where Christ comes to me. That's where he makes me to live with him. That's where he raises me up in the glory of his ascension to the Heavenly Father as his own creation. The Lord tells his parable, and then he asks the lawyer, "So, which of the three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" Does the lawyer really understand the answer that he himself gives? Or is it hidden to him even as he gives it? For the Samaritan who was the neighbor is God himself. As the Pharisees bear witness against themselves when they deride him and they say, "Are we not right when we say that you are a Samaritan? And what good work did the Savior do that we should do likewise? Even walk in them, as St. Paul says, that we may inherit eternal life." The parable says that he took the certain man to the inn. Now, dear faithful, by our baptism, the Lord put us on his donkey. He raised us up and he set us on his human nature, deified by his death on the cross. And he brought us to the church. He brought us into the mystery of his body, risen from the dead and ascended to the heavenly places in glory. He poured on us the oil of chrismation. He gave us the wine of his blood, the medicine of immortality. And in the hospital of the inn, in the temple of the church, if we submit to the innkeeper, the holy fathers of the church, the hierarchs and the priests who rightly divide the word of truth, and if we walk in Christ's life-creating death that we receive in the words and the mysteries of the church, his body, we will be kept safe. We will be even made stronger in the Lord's salvation until he returns again. What then are the good works that we are called to do that are like what the Samaritan did? Are they not to call brother, or shall we say neighbor, even those who hate us, and in the resurrection to forgive all things, to love our enemy from our heart as God loved us from his cross? Do you see how Advent announces the path to Pascha? It leads through the cave, to the Jordan, to the temple, to Golgotha, to the tomb. On this Sunday, as we get ready for the Advent fast, we're not just getting ready for Christmas, as glorious as it is. We are setting out for Pascha by way of the cave, coming upon the theophany of God, born of the Virgin, the theophany that is completed and perfected on the cross. So let us take up the fast of Advent, that Christ may bring us to the cave of Bethlehem as to the inn, to find there the joy of Christ, the joy of Pascha, in the secret place of our heart, in the cave of the church, the font of our holy resurrection. Amen. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ.